We are now in the hottest part of the year, and sometimes if we stand in the sun long enough in recent weeks, we feel like we're about to burn up. So I thought it would be relevant to talk today about what it would actually feel like to burn up after we die, not just for a short afternoon, but for all eternity. The thought of hell is the starting point of any conversion from sin and any advancement in the spiritual life. Especially for someone who is prone to mortal sin, the first thing they need to do is to study and think about hell. Our faith teaches us that hell is a place of eternal punishment where people go who die in the state of mortal sin. It stands to reason that people who offend God need to be punished. Now, we don't hear about hell much in the modern world because most people don't believe in it or don't want to think about it. It makes us uncomfortable to think about it. And what people want now more than ever is to be comfortable, so they don't like to think about it. But whether they think about it or not, it's not going to change the reality of it. And it's not going to save them from it if they die in mortal sin, which most likely they will if they don't allow themselves to think about hell during life. Part of the problem in people's thinking now is the way the new church talks about God's mercy all the time and never speaks about his justice. All we ever hear from the so-called Pope Francis is about God's mercy. Well, what is mercy, really? The true notion of mercy is that someone is supposed to receive punishment, but he is forgiven for that punishment because he is sorry. That's what mercy really means. But the new church uses the word mercy in a very different meaning, which is basically that people can commit sin and get away with it and continue to commit sin. That is a satanic perversion that is leading countless souls to hell right now. But we can't fall into that deception. So if someone commits sin, he deserves to be punished by God. And God, being all just, will mete out that punishment unless the person seeks and obtains God's mercy. So if someone has knowingly rejected God in a serious way through mortal sin, which by definition is what mortal sin is, then God in punishment will reject that soul as well and hand him over to eternal punishment. The horrors of hell surpass anything we can imagine. There are two main types of punishment, the pain of loss and the pain of sense. The pain of loss is the pain of having lost the sight of God forever, and the remorse and agony of despair. The pain of sense are the physical pains that the damned souls suffer. Our Lord spoke about hell repeatedly in the Gospels, and he called it a place of unquenchable fire, where the worm of remorse and despair dieth not, where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. The thought of burning in fire is the most horrific fate that we can imagine. There's nothing that can cause more intense pain more quickly and more efficiently than fire. To have one of our limbs burned in a fire is much more painful than having it crushed or cut with knives or suffer any other kind of injury. Fire is the most painful thing there is. And that is just the fire of this world. But the fire of hell, as we know from countless private revelations, is different from the fire in this world in various ways, one of which is that it is much, much hotter than the fire of this world. The souls in hell are roasted in a fire that is so hot and so painful that the fire of this world is like a cool breeze in comparison. That is what the saints have taught. Another difference between fire in this world and the fire of hell is that while the fire of this world only burns our body. The fire of hell acts directly on our soul. So the pain we feel on this earth might be diminished by imperfections of our nervous system or something else in our body that isn't quite working correctly, or our nerves might not be as sensitive as someone else's, or we might pass out from the pain because of the way our body works. But none of this is the case when our soul is being burned directly, as it is when we are in hell. We feel that pain more keenly than any possible suffering that we can feel in our bodies, because it is more direct. And this excruciating agony will not last for just a minute or two, but for all eternity. It's easy to dwell on the fire of hell as the main punishment, but if we just thought of hell as nothing more than a huge oven in which the people there are roasted for all eternity, and that's about it, we would be very wrong. There's a lot more to it than that, and it's much, much worse than just a big furnace in which we are burned. The souls in hell are also tormented by devils and by the company of the lost souls and by their cries of anger and despair and by their own remorse. Just the presence of the demons and other souls in hell is a huge punishment just by itself. We have all had nightmares in which we were being chased or tormented in some way by a wild animal or an evil person, some criminal, or some sort of a monster. And it's one of the worst experiences there is, because it seems so real, and we are so glad to wake up from that kind of dream and realize that the terror and the helplessness that we felt were not real. But the agony of the terror of that experience, especially if it's really a bad nightmare, can be so bad it can take a while for it to wear off. Even after we're awake, we know that it was not real. That gives us only a faint idea of the terror of being in hell with the demons and the other lost souls. Except that in hell, it's not a dream, it's reality. And it is a reality that will never change. Or also we hear stories about what it's like being in prison, even nowadays, being trapped in a confined space with the most evil and depraved people in the world, and being defenseless against them, and being tormented and persecuted by them. That gives us more of an idea. The other people in hell will all be demons and lost souls, creatures who are completely evil, to the point that they are incapable of any good thought or any act of kindness. They don't love anyone and no one loves them, and they can't feel any emotion except anger and hatred, and they vent their feelings on those around them. All they do throughout all eternity is to shriek and cry out and blaspheme God and persecute everyone else there. And if we lose our souls, that will be what we will be like too. We will be one of them. Now, normally when you read about hell, the emphasis is on the physical pains of hell and the company of the other evil spirits. But there is another type of pain in hell that is even worse, which is the pain of loss, the loss of God and of heaven, and the remorse of losing one's soul. This is hard for us to understand because we don't feel any loss of God when we commit a mortal sin, or not very much. But since this pain is so horrific that it is even worse than the torment of fire, according to the teachings of the saints, then it is something that we have to at least look at and try to understand. One of the most frightening descriptions of hell was written in the 19th century by a holy priest named Father Faber. He says, imagine a lost soul at the moment of its condemnation, when it is separated from the body and it realizes that it will live forever. but live only to suffer pain. He says, as soon as that impassable barrier is placed between that soul and God, it realizes how good and beautiful God is, and it wants God with an irresistible power. And it rushes towards God, but it is cast down again because it is driven away by God. He says this powerful spirit paces up and down its cage like a wild animal that is intended to live in a jungle and live free, but is trapped. He says the soul in hell has a threefold movement, which is not three distinct movements, but one continuing movement in three directions. First, the soul wants to rush upon God and attack him and destroy him out of hatred for him. And then it wants to suffocate its own interior thirst for God that is torturing it and burning it. And thirdly, it wants to break the burning chains that are keeping it where it is, away from God. But all these movements are completely useless, and they are incapable of having any effect. This lost soul, he says, sees four things that will haunt it forever, like the scenes of some ghastly movie. He says the first thing it sees is the agonizing pain of sense that will torment it forever, that I already mentioned. The second thing it sees is the many graces that that soul received during life, the kind providence of God that gently tried to push it in the right direction that it resisted and ignored, and that now it wishes it could go back again and use properly, but it is too late. The third thing that the soul continually sees is the thought of what it has lost, the knowledge of the joy of heaven that it can never experience. It's like a bankrupt person calculating how much money he has lost over and over again. And lastly, the soul sees the immense beauty of God, or rather is aware of it without directly experiencing it, of course. But he knows that that is the only thing worth having or desiring. And it wants God desperately. And it rushes towards God, and it tries to grasp him, but it is all in vain. And the last sentence of this frightening description is so chilling that I want to read it directly. Father Faber concludes this terrifying passage by saying, "Thus there is not one hour of summer sunshine, not a moment of sweet starlight, not one note of sweet music, but that hapless and unpitiable soul is always falling sick again from the overwhelming sense that all around it is eternal." In other words, in every moment of our daily lives, there are millions of souls suffering in hell, all of these things, and will continue to suffer for all eternity. All of this is not some story, and it's not a metaphor. This place and these torments and these people and souls are just as real as this church that we're in here now. And it's a place that we can and will end up in if we commit mortal sin and we are not sorry, and if we die in that state. People who are in hell are there because they didn't fear hell enough. And most of the people in hell never murdered anybody. They never stole anyone's fortune. A lot of them never committed adultery. Most of them were basically nice people, like the people that we see around us in the world today. Most of them are basically nice. But they went to hell because they were indifferent to God and to their souls. And they thought that they were basically good people. But a basically good person who dies with even one mortal sin on his soul goes to hell. But this doesn't need to be our fate. We have time and opportunity now to change the course of our eternity, if that's where we're headed now. Whatever it is that is keeping us away from God is not worth it. And it's not even worth the misery that it will bring with itself in this world. There is nothing sinful that gives any real satisfaction even in this life. And when people abandon their sins, they find that they don't miss them like they thought they would. Actually, they are relieved not to be chained by their passions anymore. So let that be right now. Let us get rid of whatever might be dragging us to hell and do penance, lest we perish. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.